Well, going back to your getting into the Senate, that was a story because you beat Frank Mahan and you were punished for doing it.
Oh, yeah. When I got there, the legislature, that actually was kind of a bellwether election as far as the Republican Party is concerned, because the Republicans added to their strength a little bit each time until now, of course, we got both houses. But it was a bellwether election, and I just happened to be in the right place at the right time. Mahan was the oldest of the old guard. I mean, he was really a Joe Bailey Cobb. They were very close.
This was a two-county district, Osage and Washington. Now, 1960, I believe.
1960. Yeah.
So in 1960, I was elected. I carried this county here by 11,000 votes. Nobody's ever done that before. But I had an easy way downhill because Frank Mahan got less than 3,000 votes in Washington County.
Why?
Because he was an old guard, and this is not an old guard town. Howard Edmondson was very popular here when he ran.
When you got to the Senate, though, they didn't give you an office.
Oh, yeah. I got up there, and I said, where's my office? I could tell this lady was kind of nervous, and she said, you better see Senator Tipps. He's in charge of the offices. And I thought, uh-oh. So I go to see Tipps, and I says, where is my office? He said, follow me. And he takes me around, and here's a desk sitting right in the middle of the hall. He says, this is your office. And I said, what do you mean? He said, I'm in charge of the offices. This is your desk, and this is your office. And turned around and walked off. I was really upset. You can imagine the first day of the session, we were down there to get sworn in. But there was a guy named Robert Lawler, L-O-L-L-A-R. He was number one man in my law class. I'll tell you a little story about him from back in law school. This is the kind of guy he was. He was on the law review, and they gave him a case that he was to write a law review note on. He took it in to the dean, and he gave it to him, and he said, this is well written, and I agree with everything that you say in your note, but he said, you took the wrong side. It was a case that had something to do with the race of train passengers. They did sue the railroad. They had this case that went up. It came down and said that they didn't have jurisdiction to enter judgment against the railroad because the complainant, the person that they didn't let on there, did not receive any physical restraint or orders from any of the people on the train, except they just said that they couldn't sit there. He took the side of the railroad when it got down to the summary, and he was not a racist of any kind. The dean says, I want you to take this back and everything above the holding, leave it like it is, but on the summary of the thing, you say that the case should be set aside and sent back for another trial because it was unconstitutional, which it was, but not at that time. Nobody knew it. I don't know if you follow what I'm trying to say. But anyway, old Bob, he's a little old skinny guy about that high. But most of it was taken up with his brain because he really had a brain. He said, let me have that, Dean. Dean handed it to him, and he just took it and tore it up, threw it in the wastebasket. He said, I don't want to sign anything that you wrote. If you publish it like I wrote it, I'll sign it. But he said, I don't want to even be on the law review. And in order to be order of the COIF, that's the Phi Beta Kappa of lawyers, you had to be on the law review. He's the only man that ever graduated from the OU Law School that was not a member of Order of the COIF, and it was by his own decision. He refused to sign that paper when the dean told him to go change it, and that's the kind of a guy he was.
Bob Lawler.
Bob Lawler was a Democrat from Miami.
Oh, yeah, so I looked up and I saw Senator Lawler on this door. I go in there and I said, Bobby, I've really got problems, and I told him that they weren't going to give me an office. He said, what? And I said, yeah. He said, you got an office. And I said, where? And he said, here. He said, where's your desk? I said, it's out in the hall. And he called, had people come and take my desk and put it in his office. He put his desk on the other side. That's the only time that a Republican and a Democrat had an office together.
How long did you coexist like that?
Until reapportionment.
That would have been how long?
A year. But anyway, I had my secretary, Mary Pyle. She was a fine old lady. She was a Democrat, but she was the best secretary I ever had. I said, well, how about Mary? He said, she's our secretary. So here's Bob and me and Mary Pyle all in this one office. But anyway, Tom Tips was just livid. He was a great friend of Frank Mahan's. And he was going to make me sorry that I ever beat Frank Mahan, he thought. But he picked the wrong guy because I'm still putting them into him every time I get a chance. I never will get over him setting me out in that hall. That just did something to me. Anyway, there was another guy that Bob Lawler over in his district that was in the Senate. His name is George Pitcher. And George Pitcher was from Veneta. He was half Indian and extremely handsome, which was well noted by most of the women that hung around the state Senate. He followed Bob Lawler, whatever Bob Lawler did. That's what he did. He came in the office and old Bob Lawler said, let me tell you, George, Denny Garrison's going to be in here. And you and me and Denny Garrison are going to vote the same way on every bill. And we'll meet before the vote takes place. If we have an argument and we can't do it, well, we won't. But if we can all agree, we'll vote the same way. And at the same time, Everett Collins was president of the Senate, and he just ignored me when I got over there because he's a great buddy of Frank Mahan's. So they were trying to pass a new turnpike bill to build the new turnpike down to Lawton. Either that one or the Indian Nation turnpike. I think it was the Lawton turnpike. Those turnpike bills, there were a lot of pressure on them. I think there were money involved in those early turnpike bills, but I'm just guessing when I say that. They got down and they were 2 votes short of passing that bill. Lawler says, okay, here's what we've been waiting for. He said, wait until he has the press conference today where he announces that they're not going to go with the turnpike bill because they don't have the votes. He said, now you go down there before he has his press conference and you go in and tell him, Senator Collins, how close are we to passing the turnpike bill? And he said, well, we're 2 votes short. I can't come up with them. I said, if you had them, would you pass it today? And he said, hell yes, I would. And I said, well, go ahead and call the press conference. I have 3 votes. That's Lawler and Pitcher and me, and we'll be for it. He's just beside himself, and he calls the press in, and he announces that they're going to run the turnpike bill. So we passed it, and he started calling us the Kingston Trio. I mean, we could do no wrong for the rest of that session.
But you did vote that way because you thought it was for the good. It wasn't anything that you thought you were going to get out of it.
Not one of us would commit because we used that
for leverage.
Yeah.